Ladies, let's begin. We have sources, don't worry. We will not even get close to finishing today. I gave you more things for reference. I gave you more things for reference because by the time I finish and you would want to explain this to anyone else, first of all, you won't be able to, but secondly... But secondly... Yes, so you won't be able to explain anything that I teach today to anyone else, but at least you'll be able to confuse them with all the charts afterwards, so that will be good. From the beginning of the year, we supposedly were talking about 19th century thought, Chassidut, Rav Soloveitchik. Well, the truth is that there was a whole other thought system which have essentially ignored all year, which on one level is the source for the Soloveitchik family, and on the other hand was definitely the counterbalance to the Chassidut, and that is the Torah of the Vilna Gaon, of the Gaon Mivilna. The Gaon Mivilna was born approximately 1720. He died approximately 1797. From a very young age, he was already recognized as the Vilna Gaon. There are many stories about his various wanderings into exile, about his attempted visitations to Israel or his aliyah, which were frustrated and he never quite made it. He wrote very little. He didn't write anything past the age of 40. And all the information we have is from his students. And even the quote-unquote students did not necessarily have the kind of relationships that you would imagine today between a rabbi and students. The Vilna Gaon sat and he learned. His commentary on the Mishnah that we have is what he said out loud when he was saying, learning Mishnayos after his mother passed away. So he was just explaining the Mishnah out loud and his students were furiously copying down notes, and that's the commentary that we have on the Mishnah. And he himself did not succeed in writing all that much. I don't know if that's what he was interested in. But it's interesting because, you know, if you look at today's world, we very often would imagine the quote-unquote Lishfisha Yeshiva world as being different from the Hasidish world, in as much as the Hasidish world was far more involved in either Kabbalistic literature or maybe even neo-Kabbalistic literature, because there really is a very big change in most of the Hasidic writings. I think we touched this earlier in the year, that a lot of the issues of Ge'ulah, the issues of redemption, were shifted from a national redemption to a personal redemption. And I guess that's part of the way that people dealing with Kabbalistic sources were able to delve into this kind of material in a post-Shabtai Tzvi world, because again, Shabtai Tzvi caused an incredible destruction, incredible pain, incredible spiritual angst, because there people thought Mashiach had actually come, and it was all based upon Kabbalistic ideas or Kabbalistic misconceptions. And therefore, what the Hasidut world did is they took the Kabbalistic literature, but instead of talking about national redemption, again, you understand that Chabad is an exception to this, what they spoke is mostly about the personal redemption, and therefore, once you deal with personal redemption, there's not going to be any kind of similar kind of complaint. But by the way, within Christian theology, you find a similar concept in terms of redemption, a person's soul being redeemed on an individual level, although the exception there, the ones who talked about redemption on a national level, were mainly the black preachers in America. They went to the exact same sources as the white preachers did, but the whites were generally talking about a personal redemption, personally being saved, a personal relationship with God, while the black preachers were talking about a national movement and talking about a national redemption. So, again, you I don't know how much you've ever seen speeches or theology going from the difference between white versus, again, what was going on in the churches from the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, looking at black versus white. It was very different, but it's a very interesting parallel, because what the Hasidim did as well was take things from a national level and take it down to a personal level. The Vilna Gaon never did that. The Vilna Gaon, even though the quote-unquote yeshiva world stayed far away from having Kabbalah as part of the curriculum, that doesn't mean that the Vilna Gaon himself had it as far away from his curriculum as you would have imagined. And here's where we have to be careful, because I don't want to go into a whole biography of the Gaon. I don't want to spend too much time, and I do want to get to the 19th century, which is where we're going to spend today. But the Vilna Gaon attempted to master all knowledge. And I say all knowledge, I'm not talking all Jewish knowledge. The Vilna Gaon tried to master all knowledge, period. He saw all knowledge as being something which is divine. He saw all knowledge being something which comes from God, and therefore all knowledge needed to be mastered. The only thing he would not learn was pharmacology, because his father told him that if he learns pharmacology, then he'd be obligated to heal any person who comes with medical problems, and he would then spend all his days and nights as a doctor having to heal people, and he would not have time to learn. So that was the only area that he stayed away from, was pharmacology, in order to try to stay away from that obligation. So again, it's just something interesting, you know, as far, I don't know if his mother was happy, she could have had a son who was a doctor, but I suspect that his mother was proud of him nonetheless. Right? No doctors. You know the joke of the two women who meet in Miami Beach? Right, okay. Two women meet. He says, "How's your daughter?" She goes, "Which daughter? The one who's married to the doctor?" He goes, "No, she divorced the doctor. She's married to a lawyer now." She goes, "Oh, so much nachas from one daughter." Okay. The Vilna Gaon not only attempted to master all knowledge, but specifically, they say, and it's so hard to understand and to know and to try to separate legend from fact. To understand the Vilna Gaon, he was basically Judaism's Mozart, but Mozart was limited because it was only in music. The Vilna Gaon, apparently from the age of 3 or 4, knew all of Tanakh. From the age of 6, knew all of Mishnah. From the age of 7 or 8, knew all of the Gemara. And by the time he was 13, he already had mastered all of Kabbalistic literature as well. We're told in the introduction from his student, Rav Chaim Volozhin, in his introduction to a book called the Sifra de Tziniuta, you'll see it's the first and second source come from that. That is a part of the Zohar, and the Gur wrote a commentary to it. If you get your hands on this book and just read the introduction from Rav Chaim Volozhin, you will find yourself amazed, because the introduction firmly establishes the Vilna Gaon as one of the greatest masters of Kabbalah ever. But one of the things one of the dialogue that they had is some of the Kabbalistic writings were written deliberately with mistakes, especially things that had to do with magic. And one of these books is called the Sefer Yetzirah, which we discussed at some previous point. And according to legend, if you know how to meditate on the Sefer Yetzirah, one would be able to make a golem. So under various times, Rav Chaim Volozhin came to the Gra and asked him what a particular text meant, because he felt that the text was mistaken, and every time the Vilna Gaon would correct him and say, "No, this is the correct text." By the way, the Vilna Gaon, one of his incredible legacies has been his ability to point out mistaken texts in all kinds of places, including the Gemara, especially Rishalmi, but all kinds of places. How he knew this, scholars are still amazed today. I mean, today we have the Cairo Geniza and all kinds of manuscripts that were lost. And when things went from manuscript to the printing press, there were mistakes which were made. And the Vilna Gaon, in the notes, the margins of his books, just corrected all kinds of texts. And he corrected them back to things that we later found being the manuscript. Meaning, most rabbis should absolutely not correct a text because they will not be right. And when you have a difficulty with logic, sometimes it's a very simple thing to correct the text. The Vilna Gaon somehow, again, you want to call it Ruach HaKodesh, you want to call it brilliance, or you want to say that he had access to a great library. I don't know how to explain this, maybe a combination of all the above. But when it came to the Sefer Yetzirah as well, he was able to point out always the correct readings. And Rav Chaim Volozhin once said to him, "I wouldn't be surprised if you would be able to, make a golem because you seem to know the correct text." So he tells him that I once started to do it, but then I saw a sign from heaven that I should stop, and I assumed it was because of my age. And he asked, "How old are you?" He said, "It was before Bar Mitzvah." So again, if you begin to understand what we're talking about, that. There was a man who had mastered all Kabbalistic literature before Bar Mitzvah to the point of making a golem, and even then he gets a sign from heaven. The Vilna Gaon got various signs from heaven. And again, if you want to read about this and his place as a Kabbalist, you'll read the Rav Chaim Volozhin's introduction to this book, because there are all kinds of stories that will absolutely amaze and thrill you and your friends. Now, In this book, which is called Sifra Ditziniuta, the Book of the Modest, this is a part of the Zohar, and the Gur wrote a commentary. I have a copy of this at home. I'll just read a couple of things for you in order to get a sense of what we're talking about. Source number one, this is from chapter 5. Ha'klal ki kol ma shehoya v'hove v'yiyah ad olam, ha'kol kalul b'torah mibereshit v'ad le'inei kol Yisrael. Everything that will ever happen is in the Torah. So if you know how to read the Torah, you will know everything that will ever happen. V'lo klalim bovad, not just in a general sense, ela afilu pratav shakol min umin, shakol adam b'frat, v'kol mash iralo miyom hulado, ad sofo v'kol gilgulav, v'kol pratav upratei pratav. The people who generally like to quote this are those who deal with the various codes from the Torah, because they assume that that's what it's talking about. The Vilna Gaon is not talking about codes. The Vilna Gaon was talking about understanding Torah properly, you will know everything. They actually say that as he got older and older, he spent less and less time learning other things, and by the end of his life he only learned Chumash, but when he learned Chumash, he saw everything there was to know from Chumash, if you can properly understand it. So he does say over here that everything about everything is contained within the Torah. The king, shokol min behima v'chai v'kol Balchai Shaba Olam Vakol Asa Vitsameach Vidomim Vakol Pratayim Vapratay Pratayim Vachomin Vin Vimin and so on and so forth. All this is in the Torah. Anything that happened to the Avot, to Moshe, and so on, all of this is in the Torah. Vachin Koma Asayim Me Odom Harishon Ad Sofa Torah Hu Bachol Dor Kiyadulam Vin Vakachi Bakol Adam Vadam and so on. Vakol Zenechlal Kulo Biparshat Bereshit Ad Noach. Again, so according to the Gur, if you understand properly the entire Torah, you will know everything that will ever happen. A matter of fact, he goes on to say in the same chapter, in source number 2, Vida, Shekol Elu Hayamim Hein Remez L'Sheshet Alafim Shana Shehein Sheshet Yamim Kamashikatsu Perik Aleph Shita Alafin Shinin Talin B'Shata Kadmai. The Vilna Gaon says the 6,000 years of existence are intertwined with the 6 days of creation. And therefore, if you understand the 6 days of creation properly, you will understand what will happen over the 6,000 years. The kol pratim shehein b'sheshet yamim elu, hin mitnahagin b'sheshet alafim, kol echad b'yomo u'v'shato. So therefore, you know the 6 days, you'll understand the 6,000 years. This line you will like, and I will not explain it to you. U'mikan teda ketsa ge'ula, if you understood this, you will know when the time of redemption will come, shehu bi'ita chas v'shalom, if it comes in its proper time, God forbid, meaning, and not earlier, kishlo yezaka'in, when the Jews are not worthy for Mashiach to come earlier, shehu ketz acharon, and that's the last time that Mashiach is supposed to come by, u'mashbi'a ani et ha'kareb ha'shem alokei Yisrael shelo yigaleze, and I make the reader swear by the God of Israel not to reveal what I just now said. when he says that he makes you swear that you're not going to reveal it, what he means is that you're not supposed to explain the details of what he points out here. And there's no problem with me reading this because you have no idea what he had said. In fact, even though I gave you around 12 pages here, I did hold back from you one page where I did work out what he's talking about. Do you want me to explain it? Do you want me to explain it or... Okay, so let's go on then. Look on page 4, source 17. Okay, the Zohar says, at every 60 years of the 6,000, he will mount a stage higher, acquiring greater strength. And after 600 years of the 6,000, there will be opened the gates of wisdom above and the fountains of wisdom below, and the world will make preparations to enter on the 7,000 as man makes preparations on the sixth day of the week when the sun is about to set. I mean, this does tell you that this idea of the seventh day, the 7,000th year, the Mashiach is supposed to come by the year 6,000. By the way, in case you get confused, by the year 6,000, there is 0 to 1,000, right? That's the first, right? So 1,000 is the end of 1,000 years. So you get to 6,000, that's at the end. Yeah, so what he's saying is that from the year 5,000, you know, X is when one starts beginning. But over here, this passage in the Zohar is talking about what you, again, according to Judaism, when does the day begin? The day begins at night. So this is talking about the day of the sixth day. At which point can you start taking in Shabbat? Right? So by Friday afternoon, and we all know that there's a concept that you can take Shabbat in earlier. You have to have Tosefet Shabbat. You have to add a little bit to Shabbat. That's part of what this is talking about, preparations for Shabbat. So the real preparation for Shabbat is going to be on Friday day, or Friday afternoon. So part of what the Vilna Gaon is referring to is a passage in the Gemara, which I did not provide for you over here. If you're looking for it, it's in Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Chet, page 38. There it delineates what took place on each one of the hours of that first day in that, for I say the first day, that sixth day, what Adam did on each one of those hours. If you understand what happened each one of those hours, then you begin to understand what's going on. But again, when is Adam created? Not in the evening. Adam is created in the morning of the sixth day, which therefore means 5,000, at least 5,500 as far as what the parallel is. 5,500, the year 5,500 was the year 1740. The year 5, right, where are we right now? 5,700 and change. 5,500 was 1740. The Vilna Gaon was around 20 years old. That was one of the times that he tried to go to Israel. The Vilna Gaon felt that what the Jews need to do is to go back to Israel. At the end of the first hour, the Gemara says that Adam's dust was gathered together from all over the world. So the Vilna Gaon apparently felt that this was some kind of reference to Kibbutz Goliot in order to bring the Jews back. But at the end of that first hour, if you want to do your math now, you'll realize if you take 500 divided by 12, you'll see that the number is 41.6666. And therefore, if the beginning is 1740, the next important date is 1781. And by 1781, the Vilna Gaon is already a much older man at this point. I don't know exactly the year of his second attempted trip to Israel, but I would not be surprised if it's all that different from this. But the Vilna Gaon does tell his students they have to go. He says that he's not allowed to go. He really can't go. He's not going to succeed. But his students... What?
And they go.
And they go. The students... His student. It's even before his students. His students need to go, and he sends them. He sends them off. If you were to follow each one of these dates, going from the second to the third to the fourth to the fifth to the sixth hour and so on, you'll begin to understand what he's referring to over here. I am not going to go into any more details, but I will tell you that the last important one, which is the last tachana, how do you say it? Was station was in 1990. In 1990, it says that Adam gave names to all the animals. So it's interesting that if you want to know, go back what was going on in 1990. That's when all those countries changed from communism to that's when the Soviet bloc fell. Everyone got new, all the countries got new names at that point. So the giving names to the animals, you know that very often different nations of the world are represented by different animals. So I'll just say that that's most likely how Kabbalists understand this. This passage in the Zohar that says that after 600 years of the sixth, right, and so on, then the gates of wisdom are going to open up. There were those who felt that this passage meant that Mashiach would come by that date. And I can tell you right now that there were sources that said, oh, this, what the Zohar must be referring to is the arrival of Mashiach. The Vilna Gaon explained that no, it's what it says. It says that the sources of wisdom will open up, and therefore the Vilna Gaon felt the importance of studying all secular knowledge, because the wisdom here is part of the plan of bringing the Jews back to Israel. So this is a very significant issue. The Vilna Gaon, and I don't want to get into his motivations, but as far as we can tell, and certainly the way that some of his students tell it over, his major motivation was bringing the Mashiach. This perhaps should be the goal of any and every Jew. He felt that the coming or the arrival of Mashiach had a final date that it has to happen by, or he felt that there was an earlier date that it could happen by. Now all that is based upon a Gemara. It's not that, you know, we have to go and guess to figure out what he, you know, where he got this from. If you
explain some people saying that in every generation there's a Mashiach.
Okay, maybe we'll see something about that. If if you look at source number 3, it says Hakaton Yihyeh La'elef. The small one, the least, should become like 1,000. V'hatzair Lagoy Atzum, the young one will become an incredible nation. Ani Hashem, I am God. Bi'ita Achishena. Bi'ita means in its proper time. Achishena means I will make it come quicker. The English here is very interesting, because I think it's correct. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. Now, which one is it? Is it Bi'ita or is it Achishena? Is it that's going to happen Bi'ita in its right time, or Achishena make it come quicker? The Gemara in source 4 says, Amar Rav Alexandri, Rabbi Shuban Levi Rami, Rabbi Shuban asks, Ktiv, it says Bi'ita. It says on the one hand in its proper time, Uktiv Achishena. And it says on the other hand, I'll hasten it. So the Gemara says, Zachu, if they merit it, Achishena, God will hasten it. Lo Zachu, if they don't merit it, Bi'ita, then in its proper time. Now, the Vilna Gaon felt about this, that that's a proper understanding, but he felt nonetheless, Ein mikra yotze midei pshuto, and the verse itself says, Bi'ita achishena, that it's really both. That it will be in its proper, that there is a proper time, but it will be quicker. Which means that that's not, he felt that it's not a contradiction. But this verse, Hakaton Yela Elef, becomes part of the Vilna Gaon's whole understanding. And in order to get back to this, we need to mention a small, generally not unknown, but not paid that much attention to, aspect of Judaism, and for that matter, aspect of eschatology, you know, the whole study of the end of days, and that is that we know there's such a thing called Mashiach ben David should come speedily in our days, but there is also this concept of Mashiach ben Yosef. Mashiach ben Yosef is mentioned, as far as I know, in the Gemara only one or two times. In the Gemara in Sukkah and Daf Nun Bet, it tells us that there's going to be, this is in source 11, it says that there's going to be this hesped, this mourning. Now there's a question in the Gemara what the mourning is for, and one of the possibilities, it says, v'hai hesped demai avadite, what this hesped, what caused it? Pligi barab dosi v'rabanan, there's an argument of dosi v'rabanan, chad amar al Mashiach ben Yosef sheneherag. V'chad amar al Yetzahara sheneherag. One says the mourning will be for Mashiach ben Yosef, because he will be killed, and one because of the Yetzirah that will be killed. Why we would mourn for the Yetzirah that's destroyed, the Gemara goes on in detail to explain that. But the Gemara here mentions that there is a Mashiach ben Yosef, and Mashiach ben Yosef will die. Now, even though it says here in the Gemara, Mashiach ben Yosef will die, and that's what we're mourning about, the Kabbalists of various generations did not necessarily accept that. Now, before I go and read some of the things from the Kabbalists, what I do need to explain to you is that according to the Vilna Gaon, the concept of Mashiach ben Yosef was the central part of his messianic understanding. Which means this small, little side point becomes, for the Vilna Gaon, the main point. And there is a whole book which is written on this, which is called Kol HaTor, which is, as you can read, because you have the title page, right after page 4, Kol HaTor, V'hu Shita Tagon Rabbeinu Eliyahu Hagra Mivilna, V'giluyav Al Tkufat Itchalt D'Geula Miru'ata U'mitzvoteha. That these are the revelations of the Vilna Gaon regarding the time of the beginning of the redemption, and its awakening and the commandments. Mehagon Mukubau, Rabbi Hillel ben Rabbi Binyamin, Rivkin Mishklov, Talmud Hagra. Sorry?
Rivlin.
Mishklov, Talmud Hagra. The Vilna Gaon called in this Rabbi Hillel ben Rabbi Binyamin and told him that I will not make it to Israel, you will make it to Israel, and you need to start the process. And this book, which as I said is available, I have it right over here, goes in and explains the Vilna Gaon's idea of how Mashiach will come. The central theme of the book is the importance of Mashiach ben Yosef. So hold on to this for a second, and let me just point out a couple of more sources to see the significance of this. Look at source number 12, which is the Pre-Eitz Chaim. The Pre-Eitz Chaim goes back to the teachings of the Arizal. Tishkon, b'milat v'kisei David avdecha. This is explaining the prayer when we say kisei David. What is kisei David? The throne of David. What is the throne of David? What? What is the throne of David? The throne of David should be Yerushalayim. What bracha is that? The kisei David, right? What's the bracha? Right, so binyan Yerushalayim is Kisei David. So therefore, I would have said that Kisei David has to do with Malchut Beit David. It has to do with David HaMelech, specifically Mashiach ben David, and this has nothing to do with Yosef whatsoever. But before I explain this, maybe there's something else I need to remind you of. And that is that there is, for some reason, an incredible connection between Yosef and between Tzion. This is not something which is new. This is something which goes all the way back to the Medrash Tanchuma, which we will not read in its entirety. I'm just going to point out that it is, in fact, here. At least, hopefully, it's in fact here. It's source number 5, Medrash Tanchuma Vayigash, Et Yehuda Shalach. Hineni shaleach malachi upana v'chulei bovra kol tzarot she'ira liYosef ira l'tzion. All the indignity that took place to Yosef took place to Tzion, to Zion. Tzion is Yerushalayim. Ki mitzion teitzei Torah dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. All the indignity that took place to Zion took place to Yosef. This goes on, and it goes on to details. I mean, again, if you want, you can read this through. I don't know how necessary it is, but it brings verse after verse that creates a parallel. If you just want to read a little of it. B'yosef k'tiv Yisrael havet Yosef, b'tzion k'tiv ha'ohev Hashem et shari tzion, b'yosef k'tiv yisnei oto, b'tzion נתנה אליי בקולה על כן שונותיה, ויוסף הנה אנחנו מעלמים עלומים, בציון ובא יבוא ברינה נושא אלומותיו, ויוסף המלוך תמוך אלינו, בציון אמר לציון מלך לוקה. And it goes on and on during the parallel. At the end, it talks about the positive side. It says all of the honor that Yosef one day received and will receive is the honor that Zion will one day receive as well. So this midrash is worthwhile reading. It creates an absolute direct parallel between the two. It also is interesting, because I'm sure it was not lost upon the author from the Midrash Tanhuma, that the gematria of Zion and Yerushalayim are the same gematria. It's both the same. It's 156. It's also the gematria of kin'ah, of jealousy, which is also one of the themes which is mentioned over here. So, for that reason, Kisei David, the throne, which is really the preparation, the thing that David sits on, goes back to Yosef. Let's look at the Pri Etz Chaim now, source 12. Tishkon b'milat v'kisei David avdecha, hizhir lanu mori, that is the Arizal, ma'od, b'yom echad shehalachnu al tzion, which is interesting, Shmaya v'avtalyan, we went to the graves of Shmaya v'avtalyan, b'tparlalnu sham, v'chpil sham lanu lomar, and he stressed, he repeated there, and he said, sh'neskir b'kol tfila v'tfila l'chavein b'milat David avdecha, sh'yichya Mashiach ben Yosef. That whenever you have this bracha, you talk about Kisei David Avdecha, and you talk about David Avdecha, have in mind the kavanah for that tefillah should be that Mashiach ben Yosef does not die. And we saw in the Gemara that there's going to be a great mourning for Mashiach ben Yosef. So over here, the Arizal said it doesn't have to happen that way. Mashiach ben Yosef doesn't have to die. Mashiach ben Yosef can live. But what do we need to do to keep him alive? We need to daven for Mashiach ben Yosef, that Mashiach ben Yosef survives.
Is there something crossing my mind? Could they be one and the same?
No.
What proof is there?
Because one has been Yosef, one has been David.
That doesn't answer the question.
It's two different genealogies. It's not the same role. It's not the same task. They're different tasks. Sheyichya Mashiach ben Yosef, v'lo yamut ayidei armilus Harasha. Armilius Harasha represents the Erev Rav. Is the divine angel, as it were, of the Erev Rav. V'hu nikra kisei David avdecha. V'zeh sod. Chim shalomcha, and so on. V'skipalim Mashiach ben Yosef lamut. V'lo hivinu dvarav. We had no idea what he was talking about. V'ashem yodei nesteros. God understands the secrets. V'sof ha-machiyach al-tchilato. Shemit mori ha-chasid. But then soon afterwards, the Arizal died. He goes on to say over here, there's a note. It goes on to explain that after the Arizal died, they came to this realization that what he must have been talking about was really himself. One second, look at source 14. This is a sefer called Emek HaMelech, a very early Kabbalistic source. אחרי שהפליע השם את חסדו אימנו כי חשף השם את זרוע קדשו ושלח לנו עיר וקדיש מן שמיה נחית הרב החסיד הגדול הלוקי מורנו ורבינו כבוד מורנו הרב רבי יצחק לוריה בן מור ורבינו הרב שלמה זכר and so on, אשכנזי נשמת משיח בן יוסף. So they felt that the Arizal had the neshama of Mashiach ben Yosef, and he says, "Kirashbi b'daro," the same as Rav Shimon bar Yochai in his time. Asher hear Hashem et einenu l'schut otanu b'hatumotav u'mekrot mitzad amet b'sefer zohar l'avin sodotav hastumim ma'ayan shekol kolchai shelo nitgalu b'yimot Rashbi alav Hashem ve'elach. Let me explain a little bit. What was Yosef's other name? And what does Tzofna Paneach mean? To reveal the secrets, the revealer of the secrets. So therefore, who are the people in Jewish history who revealed the secrets? So one is the Rashbi, Rav Shimon bar Yochai, who reveals the Zohar. The other is the Arizal, who reveals all kinds of other mystical secrets. Therefore, his students understood that part of the task of Mashiach ben Yosef is to reveal mystical secrets. I can assure you right now that the students of the Vilna Gaon understood the Vilna Gaon as well, possessed this type of a neshama, and also was what you would call a nitzutz, a spark of the soul of Mashiach ben Yosef. Which means part of what Yosef's role is to reveal mystical secrets, which is what the Vilna Gaon goes and tries to do. But realize, it's not something which is new, which we first find by his students. We already find this phenomenon going back to the students of the Arizal, who feel that's really what the Arizal even said to them. There's a beautiful source. The Eimek HaMelech tells over what we just saw in the Priyat Chaim in source 15. V'chein ira pamachad she'arizal ba'amdu al tzion shmai v'avtai v'avitim imo v'amar al tamidim b'ni. Tid'u she'shmai v'avtai yin tzivuli leimor lachem. Now it's a little different. He goes, Shmai v'avtai told me to tell you she'tzitpalalu al Mashiach ben Yosef shelo yamut. Ad kan l'shono moreinu harav Rav Chaim b'sefer Eitz Chaim. So he's quoting what we had seen till now. Rav Chaim is Rav Chaim Vital. The katav al zeh umeirov tipshutenu lo haya banu dat l'sholoto mihu hamashiach ben Yosef. We didn't bother asking him who this is. The lo amad eli yamim uatim v'nitpakesh raveni mashiach shamala. Very soon later, the Arizal dies. When adal landul mafreya shehu haya mashiach ben Yosef umeirov avonotenu lo rotzel galotot atzmenu ad kan. Now again, I want you to be careful about this. When these people are talking about the Arizal being mashiach ben Yosef, this goes back to what you mentioned. It doesn't necessarily mean that was it. He was Mashiach ben Yosef. What it means is that part of the role is played by him. There's a sefer called Megale Amukot, which I've mentioned various times, who does say that there is a Mashiach ben Yosef in every generation, and Mashiach ben David in every generation. But over here, part of what they're saying is that Mashiach shouldn't die. We need to pray for this. We need...
Couldn't it be sort of a progression? And that's, well, I don't know why, but if there's a progression of Mashiach ben Yosef to become Mashiach ben David, that's like a progression.
It could be, but it's two different ideas. V'chein katav ma'aseh acher, and then continue. Then it says, and there was another time, v'nirah shehu kein, shepam achad be'erev Shabbat samach l'achnasat kala. Which is the way they, achnasat kala, is the way that they would describe, right? Bowie kala, right before achnasat kala. Yotza im talmidav chutz le'ir tzvat, and that's what they used to do. They would go out of the city, go up onto one of the mountains, dressed big day lavan, and so on and so forth, the clothing wearing for Shabbat, kedei lekabel Shabbat. Umatchil mizmor le'david havu le'Hashem b'nei elim. Upizmon miusad lekabalat Shabbat umizvah liyom haShabbat vaShem alach b'nigun na'ed. They would say these various mizmorim. Uvatoch shahoyu mishorim amaharav l'talmidav. And then in the middle of all of the singing, and the Rav, the Arizal, turned to his students and said, Ritzonchem sheneilech liYerushalayim. Do you want to go to Yerushalayim kodem haShabbat, before Shabbat begins, v'naseh Shabbat b'Yerushalayim, and accept Shabbat in Yerushalayim? Which means, let's try to somehow bring Yerushalayim into this. Yerushalayim, he ruchlaka mitzvah, yotemi kafe parsaot. I don't know how far kafe parsaot is, but I know the distance of tzvat to Yerushalayim, as we all do. Hishivu k'tzat min atalmidim, anu shom'im bekach, yeah, we're going to listen to you. V'k'tzat hishivu v'amru, nelech mikod v'nadiyu, oto l'nashenu. Let us at least tell our wives that we'll be late. Kevan shamru nelech mikod, Mikodem libeitenu. Once they said that first we're going to go to our houses, netchared harav charedag dola. The Ariza got very, very frightened. Vihi kakaf al kaf. V'mar oy lanu shelo hayabanu zchut ligael. Woe unto us, we didn't have the merit to be redeemed. Sheil mali hayitim kolchem yishivim bepeachad. Shetem rotzim lelech besimcha gdola. Tekef hayu negitlim kol Yisrael. Had all of you said you're ready to accept Shabbat in Yerushalayim, the geula would have come. Sha'ata haita sha'a omedet ligael, for it was a moment that was special, a moment that you'd said before where redemption was possible. Umitoch shema antem bidavar chazor hagalut liitanu bavnotenu rabim. So stories like this, you will see why they may have thought that the Arizal had something going as far as a potential somehow type of Mashiach. But it's interesting, they were not brazen enough to call him Mashiach ben David. Again, I want to stress this, that all of the, there are various people who've pointed at different characters and keep calling them Mashiach ben Yosef, but people would not call somebody Mashiach ben David. That's when you get into trouble. Because Mashiach ben Yosef prepares the way. Now, one of the things about Mashiach ben Yosef is that it is a natural process. This is what the Vilna Gaon understood. He understood that the process of Geula is a natural process. And he felt it's a natural process that we need to be a part of. Right? Mashiach, be a part of it. That's really what the Vilna Gaon was claiming. that we need to go, we need to have great emunah, we need to go back to Israel, believe in the process, build up Jerusalem, and when we build up Tzion, then we're preparing Kisei David Abdecha. Then we're preparing the throne of David. Yosef is known as Tzaddik. Do I need to prove that or no? Why is Yosef called Yosef HaTzaddik? Well, most likely because of the whole episode with Eshet Potiphar, but there's also a pasuk which is claimed applies to Yosef. It's source number 6. Ko amar Hashem al shlosha pishei Yisrael ve'al arba'a lo ashivenu al michram bekesef tzaddik ve'evyon bavur na'alayim, which is taken by Chazal to refer to Yosef. In fact, we read this as the Haftorah when we read about Mechirat Yosef. Mechirat Tzadik Vevyon. So Yosef is Yosef at Tzadik. At Tzadik, if you look at source number 8, Kavur Sufa Ve'en Rasha, V'Tzadik Yisod Olam. That the word yet Tzadik relates to Yisod, so therefore Yosef relates to Yisod, Yosef is connected to this concept of Yisod, Yosef et Tzaddik, Yisod Olam. How can we keep Mashiach ben Yosef alive? Source number 9, V'nei ufla lo yeshara nafsho bo v'tzaddik be'emunoto yichya. That means that possessing great emunah is what will keep the tzaddik alive. Everything I've just now told you is written in this book called the Kol HaTorah. In fact, the Kol Torah, there's 156, which you should now recognize is Gematria of Yosef, 156 different points about how to keep Mashiach ben Yosef around.
What is your definition? Would you say that the book of Shiraba was one of Mashiach ben Yosef?
No.
Why?
Because he didn't do anything to build up Israel, at least as far as, again, you want to take the Vilna Gaon's concept. The Vilna Gaon's concept is that Tzion is related to Yosef. Idea of the role of Mashiach ben Yosef is to go to Jerusalem and to build up Jerusalem, and therefore he had nothing to do with building Jerusalem. He tried very hard to establish himself as Mashiach ben David, not as Mashiach ben Yosef. But again, I don't want to go into that at all. If you look at the back page, maybe that will help us a little bit. So I don't know how familiar you are with this or what this means to you, if it means anything to you. This is what's known as the chart of the Sfirot. You'll notice that there are 10 of them, even though there are far more than 10 paths that things can flow. The very top is called Keter, Ketev. If you look in the English there, crown, will, ayin, which is really Ein Sof. If you look back, like the page before, there's also a nice chart of it. Two pages before, there's actually, I gave you an explanation of it that you can then do your homework and look at. But Keter is the middle, it then flows into Chochmah. Keter flows to Chachmah, and from Chachmah to Binah. Chachmah and Binah have a meeting point in the middle. Do you see that meeting point? Do you see the meeting point between Chachmah and Binah? There's nothing there, right? If you look at the page before the end, you notice there is something there, but it's not really there. What's that called? Dat. That's where Chabad comes from. Chachmah, Binah, and Dat. Dat is not a sphira. That is the interaction. Adam yada et chava ishto. It's the interaction between Chachmah and Binah. Chachmah is considered masculine, Binah is considered feminine. And the meeting point in the middle, Chachmah, Binah, and Dat. Chachmah, Binah, and Keter form the higher of the Sfirot. The creation of the world actually comes from the lower 7. It flows from Chesed, Gvura, to Tiferet, Netzachot Yisod, and then to Malchut. The bottom one is Malchut, sometimes referred to as Shekhinah. If you look at the second page to the end, here it gives you biblical names connected to them. Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet. Chesed is Avraham, Gevura is Yitzchak, and Tiferet is Yaakov. And this is where you have Chesed, Gvura, creating thesis, antithesis, creating a synthesis in the middle, Tiferet. You then have Netzach Hod, right? Again, thesis, antithesis, Netzach Hod, and Yosef being Yisod. I mentioned this at the very beginning of the year. Any of you who have great confusion regarding the Ushpizin, why Yosef is so far down the line and out of the right chronological point, is because we are not only talking about Yosef as far as the biblical Yosef goes, but rather we're talking about Yosef as far as the Kabbalistic concept. Yisod then flows into Malchut, so therefore the preparation for Mashiach ben David, the preparation for Malchut, is Yisod. Do you see this? You'll also note it's the central line, which is really the significant line. Do you appreciate that or no?
I was just going to ask that. Is it coming from?
Yeah. It's the central line is really the
spine of the
right.
The whole thing that keeps it all together. Is that what it means? That
It's the balance. But in order to create balance, sometimes you need, again, thesis and antithesis, and then you create the synthesis. But realize that it's the central thing which really needs to be established over here. Now let's think a little bit more about Yosef, and then we can come up to some kind of understanding about what the Vilna Gaon taught and some things which may be somewhat surprising. What happens as soon as Yosef is born? What does Yaakov then decide? Time to go back to Israel. Meaning the role of Yosef is intertwined with returning to Israel. Yosef is born, you go to Israel. Now you all know that Yosef eventually causes the Galut as well. Right? That Mechirat Yosef causes Galut, but it's the birth of Yosef which causes us to go to Israel, which means the return to Israel is also going to be based upon Yosef. Who is the one who takes us into Israel? Yeshua. And what tribe is Yeshua from? Yosef. Yeshua is the prototype of Mashiach ben Yosef. Yeshua is the one who brings us in, gets things ready, captures the land, divides the land, and then Malchut Beit David can come in and to take over. But Yeshua is the prototype for Malchut Beit Yosef. Also, when it comes to fighting against Amalek, right? It's Yehoshua who's down below fighting against Yosef. So again, it's very interesting. Moshe is up on the mountain. Moshe is surrounded by Hur, who's from Yehuda, and from Aaron, right, who is the prototype of the Kohen Gadol. And they are praying on the mountain, but the actual fight below goes by Yehoshua. And of course, what should we all be praying? That Yehoshua lives. And by the way, what is said at the very end of that section? Ki yad al keska, which means that goes back to the kisei of Hashem, which is not complete. But who's the one who's fighting below? The one who's fighting below going through this natural process. What's the natural process? War. Who's that? That's Yosef. The Vilna Gaon, all the things I just now told you, I can assure you the Vilna Gaon knew, explained, and taught that the whole idea of Mashiach ben Yosef is this natural process which has within it the revealing of the secrets on the one hand, the Tzofnat Paneach, Yosef the dreamer who's able to be a visionary, to understand dreams, to explain things. But on the other hand, he's somebody who's very involved in the natural world. He's the one who uses the natural world. He's the one who collects things, gives out things, provides things. And he's the one who understands exactly what it is that God wants. All this is part of the concept of Yosef, Mashiach ben Yosef, Yesod. In the Kol HaTorah, where it says page 113, the paragraph that begins Eit HaZamir. Eit HaZamir Higia, Eit HaZamir Ba B'Sheva HaPikidot De'itchalta, U'Bachol Pikida Sheva Dargin, V'Chol Darga Sheva Midorin. HaPikida Rishana Shetchila Mitchila Or HaBoker Shel HaMeah HaShishit La'Elef HaShishi Uba Yodu HaGadol Sherabenu HaGra B'Pasuk Evan Shlema B'Tzedek Parshat Kiteitze. The Gra saw the Kiteitze, if you count through Sefer Dvarim. What number parsha is Kitetze? What? Count. So he felt that Kitetze is when you leave the Galut, Kitavo is when you come into the land. But you'll count, because he felt that each one represents another century. Shebo ra'ah et shmo v'yudo. Ibn Shlomo, the Groz name, was Eliyahu ben Shlomo. So remember the Groz said that every person you can see in the Torah, he saw by Evin Shlema, he saw a reference to himself. So he understood, and by the way, he has a whole complicated gematria there, which I'm not going to go into, but the Groz saw himself in that verse. And what happens afterwards? You get to Parsha Kitetze. What happens in Kitetze? You get to Mechiat Amalek. Which means awakening from below. Haba b'derech hateva, which means that was this whole thing about the floodgates opening up, nature providing scientific understanding, and he saw all of this moving towards the cataclysm. Which means the Gra is looking at this passage in Zohar, and what he's telling us is that there will be now an industrial revolution, there will be an incredible change in terms of teva. We need to master this understanding of teva, but all of this is leading towards the Jews returning to the land and leading towards the coming of Mashiach ben David, which needs to be prepared by Mashiach ben Yosef. Skip a little bit. Mitchilat bo'anu talmidei hagra le'eret Yisrael b'shanat tuf kuf samach tet. What year is that? What year are we now? What year are we now?
2006.
We're Samach Vav. This means that they came in 1809. Correct? With the beginning of the students coming in 1809. Ephraim Bechori, Tchile etchalta ma'asit harishana shal ayelat ha-shachar, shebechazal. והתחלתה של עת לחננה בתפקידו של משיח ראשון משיחה דהתחלתה משיח בן יוסף בטוריה דעזרן ולכם יקמל בימי קורש בימי בית שני שעל זה התכוון רבינו הגרא הרבה בחיבוריו הקדושים בתורת הקבלה ויודו שרבינו שהוא נהורה the Mashiach ben Yosef b'darga d'tov. And it goes on to explain that this is what the Gra was working towards, Mashiach ben Yosef, and he was a spark of this as well. The Kaasher Kavanu Moshavenu Beir Kodesh Yerushalayim Bishnat Tuf Kuf Ayin Bet. When is that?
3 years later.
Right. So it would be 1812. Maonoto Bitzion Tchilat Pkida Gimel Detchata Shel Eta Zamir Besod Kol Hator Uva Achad Hayamim Baoto Shana Tuf Kuf Ayin Bet. Shebo hinichu et hayesod lahakamat Beit Midrasho Eliyahu, which means they opened up the first Beit Midrash there, and they called the Beit Midrash Eliyahu, al shem Rabbeinu Hagra, and they saw that this Beit Midrash, because now, is once again ki mitzion teitzei Torah dvar Hashem Yerushalayim, they will be involved in building up Yerushalayim physically and building up Yerushalayim spiritually. And this will be something which will be obviously of great importance. Continue. The Yiched im Zeh Hachana Pa'ula Chashuva LeBinyan Yerushalayim Nira Lanu Tomidi Rabbeinu Hagra Begavni Nihirin Ki Ba'otu Sha'a Niftach HaChalon HaRishon Shel Mechitzat HaBarzel L'Chibur HaZchut Shel Brit Avot. That we saw, they're saying that we opened this Beit Midrash. When we did this, we saw this incredible opening of this window to the Avot, which means now Yerushalayim is going to be functioning again. There was a Churban. Yerushalayim falls apart. Now how do we open up? You know, we need to do an action from below to cause an awakening above. And how do we do that? So it goes on, it says, Hachibur shehu yisod de teferet, derech malchut. You want to go back and look at your chart? Yisod de teferet derech malchut, what is that? It's the connection of yisod de teferet derech malchut, which means we need to use, to bring the Shekhinah, right? We need to bring the Shekhinah, which is malchut, back page. Shekhinah is malchut, but we need to do it by connecting yisod and teferet, which means we need to take all the zchut avot, but we need to start from below and to cause this connection. And this is the spine that you spoke of before. You have no idea what I'm talking about yet, right? Sheyeh nifsak b'churban Beit HaMikdash. That once the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, that connection was destroyed. Va'oto hayom hayayom esrim ba'omer. Shehu yisod d'tiferet ki yadu liyo d'chein. The day that they chose to open the Beit Midrash of the Vilna Gaon, which means the day they chose to start the process of the Shekhinah returning to Israel, and the process of Mashiach ben Yosef, the process of connecting Tiferet, which is Yaakov, which is, Yaakov is the one who collects the Chesed, the Gvura of Avraham and Yitzchak, comes together in Yaakov and Tiferet. Yosef is the continuation of Yaakov. So when you put together Yosef and Tiferet, then you can now, you need this connection, and now the Shekhinah can begin to flow again. So what day do they do this? They do this on the day which is in the Omer, which day you sow the Tiferet. What day is that? No. It would be real nice if it was, but it's a different day. Sorry. Look on source 10. Hey, E.R. Hayom esrim yom shehim shnei shvot v'shal yamim yisod shebetiferet. That was the day that they chose to open up the Beit Midrash. That was the day that they saw as the beginning of the Messianic process. Yom Ha'atzma'ut, Hei'iyar. That was the day that they saw. Yom Ha'atzma'ut. Now, if that wasn't... We'll come back to you right now. Look on... It's the avot. It's Yosef is the continuation of the avot. So therefore, it's Tiferet is the combination of Avraham and Yitzchak, and that's the middle of the spine over here. But by the way, if you're already following me, if this logic means anything to you so far, you'll now realize that the first stage is connecting the Tiferet and the Yesod. The second stage is going to be what? Connecting the Yesod and Malchut, which is today. Which is today is Yisod Malchut. Turn. Not yet. Turn. I have another book here which is called Dorish Litzion. Drashot Miyazdei HaYeshivot Be'eretz HaKodesh MiBeit Midrashot Shel Agra. These people that opened that Beit Midrash, here is the Torah that they taught. It's in this book. I am... Turn to this page that says Ayin on it. Sfirat Omer v'Yomatan Torah v'Kedushat Yerushalayim. It says Ayin on the top. Derosh Letzion. It was a page after the Kol HaTorah. Better. Al Nosezer the Rashbal Kol Yeshua of Yosef HaSofer. It's of Yosef Rivlin. B'Yushalayim B'Shnat Tuf Resh Kaf Vav. What year is Tuf Resh Kaf Vav? I should start giving you such a hard time. That's 1866. So now it's already the children and the grandchildren, but this is the Beit Midrash of the Gra. He, by the way, this same Yosef Sofer, this is the family Rivlin, Nachlat Shiv'ah, the ones that spread Yerushalayim out, to build Yerushalayim, to spread Yerushalayim outside of the walls of the Old City. Now Yerushalayim will spread. This is the person that did it. He's the one that opened up the... By the way, there's a 3-volume set you can get about the Drashot, and about the history and what they did when they came here, and what they understood and what the Vilna Gaon told them to do. We're running out of time, so I just pointed out, this is Drasha, he said in Tafresh Kavav, he goes into this, look at the very end, the last two lines, Yimei HaSfira, Eifohem Yamim HaMisugalim Biyoter Lehit Alut B'Kdusha. The days of the Sfira have this incredible ability of climbing in terms of Kdusha. Achlu Matzot Him Gam Rigishim Yoter Lehit Adluk HaKlipot. They also have this capacity for Klipot, for negativity to attach themselves. One second. Yeah. Ki klal, it says Ayin Bet on the top. Ki klal yaduhu shekol mekudash biyoter hein b'makom hein mizman b'chol nosei kedusha aluli pagai yoter de hasitra acha. Anything which is holier is more susceptible to an attack by the forces of evil. Shioneket etz chiyuta rak mehakdusha. That negativity draws its strength from kedusha, which is not experienced. That's why tumah tamet, where there was kedusha, that's where tumah comes in. And that's why during the Omer, where there's so much Kedusha climbing towards Matan Torah, one has to be particularly careful about bad acquaintances and danger. Zulat shnei yamim misuyamim b'yamei hasfira, except for 2 days, 1866. She'ein haklipa yachola l'shlot behem. These 2 days, the klipa can't touch them. V'him yom ha'esrim ba'omer, v'yom ha'arbim v'shtayim ba'omer. Ki yadu liyodechein, as is well known to people who know the secrets. Shneim im ha'eilin utun b'shilovim shel kav harachamim. These are the ones that go on that middle line, that spine. Kaf ba'omer, yisod d'teferet, membet ba'omer, malchut d'yisod. And that's today, in 1866. Of course, as you all know, Yerushalayim, outside of the old city, was captured today. The battle by French Hill, the battle by, what's it called, the Givat HaTachmoshet, that battle took place today, and that's the day that Yerushalayim was liberated. The old city was completed to be liberated on the next day, but as you see, the same person who began to build outside of Yerushalayim because of the instructions of the Gra for how Yerushalayim spread. He's the one who gives a drasha, and as I said, this is more than 100 years ago, 1866, he gives a drasha that these 2 days have kedusha. But again, if this just sounds like an arbitrary thing, hopefully you now understand exactly why this isn't an arbitrary idea. This comes down to the whole concept of Mashiach ben Yosef. It goes down to what the Vilna Gaon understood, what he saw and what he taught, as far as what the real sources of Kedusha are. And as I said, if this... Again, these 2 days aren't, if you look at the chart one more time, these 2 days are the connection of Yesod and Tiferet, and then the connection of Yesod and Malchut. Because Yesod and Malchut, what's Malchut? Malchut is kingship. What's Yesod? Yesod is Yosef. So Yosef preparing, right? Kisei David. Yosef preparing for Mashiach ben David. And how do you prepare for Mashiach ben David? You liberate Yerushalayim. That's what the Talmud of the Gra, who spread Yerushalayim out, That's the drasha that he gave in 1866. I can absolutely assure you that this sitra achra that he speaks about over here by kedusha applies to this Torah as well. The fact that people don't know this, I have no explanation for. I'll give you one explanation. I'll give you an explanation, because the more holy something is, as he said, the more holy something is, the more that things attack it. He has a very interesting line. It's a little sexist, so I apologize for it, but I'll tell it to you anyway. He asks, why was Sarah a greater prophet than Avraham? Why does she have more insight than Avraham? Why did Rivka have greater insight than Yitzchak? Why does Rachel have greater insight than Yaakov? Rav Soloveitchik once said that why does Judaism follow the mother? Because the Imahot had a better idea of who is a Jew than the Avot have. And therefore, Judaism follows the mother. Okay, that's interesting. The Vilna Gaon says something similar, which may be where he got it from, but he says that Avraham and Yitzchak Yaakov was so holy, but that's where the Sitra Achra were attacking them. But what happens? He goes, the imahot, they fly under the radar, and that's where they have complete understanding, because there's nothing attacking it. I will make a parallel explanation. There's little question in my mind that the greatest Torah scholars in the world today are in the Haredi world. Okay, I apologize. In the Haredi world as a whole, if anybody's upset by that, then I apologize. But just because, again, there are exceptions, there are great people, but as a whole, the Haredi world possesses really great Torah scholars, and we should recognize that. On the other hand, there seems to be a Sifra Achra going about that they're being attacked with, and they don't understand. The Vilna Gaon explained the process of Geula in a frighteningly clear fashion, as you see, including dates. It seems to me that certain other people who I will very proudly identify with the religious Zionist community, and not all, because there's great confusion all over the place, especially today, seem to have a better concept of what the Vilna Gaon were saying and trying to apply it. So it could be the same thing, that great people have great Kedusha, the Sifra Achra attacks them. This whole idea has obviously been sufficiently attacked that even though this is one of the most amazing things that I've seen in terms of a basis for religious Zionism, I'm pretty confident that there's nobody in this room who ever heard this before. Yeah, you heard the... I said it in shul a couple weeks ago, I found this book a couple of weeks ago. I spoke to Professor Rivlin, the grandson, the one who published this book, and I can absolutely assure you, if you show this to certain people, they'll say it's a forgery. It's not true. It's not, can't be. Even though that I have a copy of the Haskama for the Mashkiach of Panovich, Reb Chaim Friedlander, saying that this is authentic. So Mashkiach of Panovich saying it's authentic, still, I guarantee if you walk into Panovich with it, they'll say, no, it must be a forgery, it can't be, it's not true, and so on. And
they can follow the grab, but not...
As I said, I can't explain this any more than I did, but all of this comes back to the idea of the Vilna Gaon, which speaks about the idea of Mashiach ben Yosef, and the significance of Mashiach ben Yosef, and that is this middle level, that is the Yesod, that's the connection of the Yesod with the Teferet, and the connection of Yesod with Malchut. Bezrat Hashem, the same way that hopefully we are looking at the Tchalt of the Geula, certainly the way the Vilna Gaon understood it, the Sofa Shel Davar, Nagia Gam LeMashiach ben David.